lot of friends that have played this song all their lives, and Jim Reeves sang this song, but I tell you, if Jesus came in and we believe that the Spirit is here, hallelujah, we're praising Him, that God would have us to praise His people. But if Jesus came and stood there, I believe these are the words He would say to you today on this beautiful day. Let's see.
sinner I am without one plea.
Beautiful.
I always go over my music, and he's out in the other room watching whatever on SNBC. And he says,
"You're the one." No. That is beautiful. It was beautiful. Let's give our maestro some praise. What a beautiful song. Good job. Let's stand up and pray together. We could have all kinds of differences of opinion on everything in life, and that's okay as long as we have one opinion about God. Amen. Say it with me, brothers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Give him praise. Hallelujah. That's our Father in heaven. Oh, that you would have faith to enjoy each week's journey. And look back and see all the places that you thought were going to be problems and he got you through. And there were problems and there were serious problems and things in life. Yet he got you through that. Who wouldn't want to be closer to that God? That's our God. Amen? Praise God. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Jesus said on the cross. Amen. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That was in Aramaic. My God, why have you forsaken me? People are a little confused sometimes about what they read in the Gospels. And Deacon and I were talking, Deacon Gary and I, you had four people writing the Gospels. Amen. And we said, if you had four people today taking notes on this service and next week read what they said, you would find things one person said that the other didn't. Amen. But Jesus said these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because and people say, I don't understand. Why would God forsake him? People forget what he was doing on that cross. Amen. And you can read in Corinthians, if you want to put the puzzle together again, you go to Corinthians. And he said, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is what the Father did. Amen. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in Galatians it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Who would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who would say that but a sinner? Amen. Somebody who never knew God. Somebody who never put his heart in God. Somebody who never needed a God at that moment in life when he needed God more than anything, and then looked up to God and say, why have you forsaken me? What was Jesus doing on that cross? He was taking the sins of the world upon himself. Amen. Are you with me? And what do sinners feel like at that last moment? They feel lost. Amen. Felt alone. Felt without hope. Amen. Here's Jesus saying, why have you forsaken me? Talking like a man who was a sinner. Amen. And why was he doing that? Because he took all the sins, everything that man had done, he put it on himself. And at that moment, he looked up and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Amen. Saying that with the sins. And I believe, and this is my opinion now, I can't find it in the book of the Word, but my opinion is that feeling of for being forsaken, that feeling of being separated from his Father, amen, was the reason for the agony in the garden. It wasn't the pain, it wasn't the whipping, it wasn't the nails. It was the fact that he knew that there was going to come a time, there was going to come a minute when he was going to be separated from his Father, who he was never separated from, amen. But for that moment, he looked at that and said, Lord, Father, if you could take this cup from me, because I don't want to be separated from from you. If this cup could pass over me, because I don't want to be separated from you, but I know that if I take the sins of the world upon me, and I am the lamb that's slain, and I am the sacrifice, there's going to be a moment where I'm separated. Amen? And he took that. And he said, why have you forsaken me? Because he felt alone. Amen? And that's what a sinner would say. Hallelujah. Doubters, people who don't believe God. He felt alone. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible talks about the crucifixion. It never mentions whether Matthew was there. Amen? Doesn't mention whether Peter was there. You read and you want to find out how many were there. And I would imagine this, again, my opinion from what I read, I would imagine that they were there. But it took hours for Jesus to die. Amen? He was on that cross. And I would imagine that they looked at him and they said, there's no hope. And I can't stand here and look at that. Their hearts were torn apart and shattered. Amen? They were afraid. They still did not understand the resurrection. I understand. They saw him there. They saw him dying. And they didn't understand. So I'm thinking that maybe all the apostles were there. And after, I have to leave. I can't see this. I can't look at this. Except for one we know for sure was there. Who was there? John. Because Jesus looks down and sees, the Bible says, the disciple whom Jesus loved and his mother. And he says, behold your mother. Amen. And then he says, it is finished. Amen. It is finished. He did, and it was. Amen. There's the eyewitness to me is the reason that I believe that that's what he said. Those were his last words. He said he thirsted, and then when they gave him something to drink, he had perished. He said, it is finished. And I take those three words as the last words because John told me that, and John was there to see him on that cross. So when you put it all together and you see all the picture of it and understand, you understand what he really went through on the cross. We see the picture of him on the cross and we understand, but we don't really understand why he did and the magnitude of what he did for us on that cross, amen, is why we can believe everything that we believe today, amen. And so when you read the Bible and you really want to understand it, you can go to different places. It'll take you there. It'll take you on a journey so that you can put the picture together. And as I said, I could give you how I feel. I believe that that was where the agony was in the garden when he was on his knees in the garden. He wasn't afraid of the beating. He was just saying, Father, I don't want to be away from you. And that pain caused him to say, take this cup if you could. Amen. We understand this and understand what he did for us and understand the power of it. You begin to realize how wonderful he is, the most loving, compassionate, the greatest. We just adore him. Amen. We adore Jesus. And when you see what he went through for you, even before he knew you, amen, you didn't earn any of that. What's that song they sing? Amazing Grace. How great thou art. Amen. And that, I hope Deacon Gary, we were talking, I hope that's part of what you're saying. You were having these discussions about at the Bible study. See, this is what goes on at the Bible study. You start talking about all these wonderful things, and you start to learn, and you see another little picture, and another little picture, and all of a sudden you begin to look at the Bible differently and say, hey, this is a great book. There's some great stuff in here. And I just don't have to read one page, because one page will confirm another page. Amen? It's just so beautiful. And the more you read, and the more you study, right, Elder Pat, the more it gets in your spirit, and the stronger you become. Does that mean we don't fall apart in problems? No, we're human. Amen. Sadness can take us down to our knees, but God will lift us up again. Give him praise. Hallelujah. So, just believe. There's a song, just believe. So let's pray. Just believe. Just give it to God. You're here today. You know, you got a car outside. You got hope. You got dreams. You're here today. God can perform a miracle for you today. So just believe. You know, you can spend time worrying about the problem or spend time thanking God for the answer to the problem. I think when you start to spend time thanking him for the problem, simply acknowledging him for who he is, you don't have to ask him every day. Just acknowledge who he is and thank him. I believe that's when miracles will happen in your life too. And the more you see them, then the more faith you have. And the more faith you have, the more you see it. And then you have to tell others about him. You have to tell others about the church you go to where they preach the word and teach you that you leave here stronger. You have to tell them that God's got more. There's always more with God because your faith now is high. Praise the Lord. Just believe on this Sunday in April. Start believing. Start letting go of the worry so that you can be with your husband and be with your wife and be with your family and be with your friends. Let go of all that and just believe. And it'll heal your body. It'll heal your mind. It'll heal your spirit. God is working for you right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you've made a way for us where there was no way. Thank you, Lord, that you've opened doors that no man can open. And thank you, Lord, that you closed doors that you did not want us to walk through. And no matter how hard we fought against it and how hard we pushed against those doors, you never let them open, Lord. Thank you for those. Thank you for the things we thought we wanted that we don't have, that we didn't need, Lord. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these people in this church today that they came to hear the word of God, Lord. Let us feed them. Let this church be the food for them to make them stronger. Let those Bible studies be food for them to make them stronger in the middle of the week. What a blessing. And let's all be strong together. Let us all join together as one team, one God, one church, and draw together not with what we feel, but with God. And let God do the rest of the work. I believe we're looking at things greater than we ever thought. We laughed and said, oh, we want joy in the church, and we want to see people in the church. And all the time, God is saying, I'm grooming a church for me. And it's becoming bigger than us and greater than us. And we need to just stay closer to God. Miracles are happening today. Miracles in your life are happening today. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's your God. Let's just love him and enjoy him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear our prayer, Lord. How many want to enjoy God for a little while? Y'all with me? Y'all can sit back. Is everybody comfortable, feeling good? Let's enjoy God together. We had an interesting conversation with our son Teddy. My wife was talking, and he was talking about things and wanting to know about astrology and astronomy and all those things. And were they real? And I said, absolutely, they're real. Amen. Those people believe what they're doing. And but I said, you know, you can just go to God's word. Isn't that amazing? You can go to God's word and in one page or two understand what God says about it, amen, and understand what the Bible, let's just read, you'll understand what all we're saying here. We're going to talk today about what the world believes and what we believe and what God believes, and because there are people out there, believe it or not, that believe in astronomy, amen, and in fact, astrology can tell you the future, amen. Anybody believe that? Everybody see it? We have sorcerers out there. We have magicians out there. We have people who say they can predict the future. You see people with stores that say, come in, I'll read your palm and tell you the future. How many know that they're real, amen? Hallelujah. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, we love Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that sleep left him. I'm in Daniel, by the way, if you want to read Daniel 2. When you get home, you want to read it. It's a great story. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the who? The astrologers, the who? The sorcerers, the who? And the Chaldeans. Now, Chaldeans were known to be knowledgeable in astronomy and also in astronomy, astrology and astronomy. They were known to be famous with that. So he called them to tell the king his dreams. So they came. The magicians, the sorcerers, they came, stood before the king. Now picture this now. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, saying, O king, live forever. Yeah. And he said, tell your servant the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. You understand that these people in the world and all these other things, they have to know something first. Amen. You have to tell them something first. You have to give them what? Information first. And so they're saying, you tell us the dream. Tell your servant the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. And listen to the king. He answers and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made as an ash heap. He said, however, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. Then they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give you its interpretation. Understand, these people were not gods. Amen. And they openly admit, now listen, tell us the dream. And the king answered and said, Nebuchadnezzar, we like him. I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. And he said, if you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. He's saying, you're just going to lie and interpret things and tell me things until I don't talk about it anymore. He said, therefore, tell me the dream and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. Now, when people talk about these people in astrology and astronomy, here's a little section of the Bible that people should just go to and read and think about. Then the Chaldeans answered the king and said this, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's manner. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And he says, it is a difficult thing that the king requests. And there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. In other words, notice what they're saying. Well, there's gods out there who know more. But they didn't say God. Amen. They said gods with a small g. He's not talking about our Father in heaven. Amen. And he said, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious. What was he? Yeah. And gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they may seek mercy. Listen to that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Hallelujah. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said this. Now listen to this little prayer of thanks. Listen, do you want to know how to pray? The Bible's got so many little things. This is what he said. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For what's he do first? He praises God. Amen. And he's saying, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. What's he doing there? He's acknowledging who God is. Amen? And he goes on to say, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. And then after he acknowledges him, listen to this other thing that he does. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we have asked you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Amen. So the story goes that Daniel goes and tells the king the dream. just that God had revealed it to him. And tells him the interpretation. You can read that if you like in Daniel 2. And now here's the end of the interpretation. In Daniel 2:46 it says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar," listen to what the king did. Now understand that King Nebuchadnezzar is not a believer. Say that with me. He's not a believer. You know he's not a believer because who did he call? Astrologers, sorcerers, amen? So you know that he doesn't believe in God. Then after Daniel reveals the secret to him, the dream, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. Hallelujah, Elder Pat, tell him. Fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel. The king falls on his face in front of Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to Daniel. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Hallelujah. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. Hallelujah. Give God praise. You understand that sorcerers and all these people, the other people that don't know the Word of God, and then they start thinking, oh, maybe, well, these things are real. They don't know a thing. Right here in one page, we find out that sorcerers and magicians know what? Nothing. They don't know anything unless you tell them. Amen? And I tell you this week after week, the devil doesn't know what's in your heart. He doesn't know what's in your mind. He knows what comes out of where. Amen? He cannot attack you until you give him something to attack. I know that he's attacking us because I've been praising and saying that this church is going to be a great church. And he said, okay, now I know where to go. I'm going to block every avenue of approach I can do. But he can't stop God. Amen? So we have to believe God. But in your life, you have problems because you've spoken them. And the more you speak them, they get in your ear. And God didn't answer it on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, you're done. Oh, there's it. Hallelujah. You see, but God answers prayer. Amen? This tells us very simply. Very simply, that those people that profess to be something are not gods, amen? And they openly, right there, admit that they can't answer Nebuchadnezzar's problem, amen? So why do we turn to these people who have no answers? And understand that it was the king, not God, who demanded that these people die. You ever wonder why would that be? Because these guys weren't pretending to be gods. Amen. They weren't speaking for God. They weren't Baal worshipers. They weren't devil worshipers. They were just simply astrologers, astronomy, all these people who, sorcerers, and they said they had these little gifts that they could do. Amen. But when the truth came out, they were what? Nothing. Amen. But understand that it wasn't God that wanted them dead. It was the king. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How you guys doing? Okay. You sure? I love this stuff. This is Bible stuff. Hallelujah. But there's another story about Baal worshipers. How many know that there's people out there that worship the devil? Amen. Worship evil. Worship darkness. Drugs. Amen. The drugs that are killing our children. The alcohol that are killing our children. The things in the world from the devil that are destroying lives. Amen. Not just one life, but one life destroys families. Amen. And the devil is in charge of all that stuff. Amen. And God does not treat that very lightly. Are you with me? I'm going to go to 1 Kings 18:20. I'm going to start with. We're going to talk about Elijah, and I want you to see how God operates. I want you to hear what your God can do and hear the difference of people who believe in that and then believe in our God. Hallelujah. This is so powerful. This is a great movie. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, I love this. Listen to understand, there's many churches, many people preaching all sorts of things that God's going to come. And he says, how long will you falter between two opinions? Amen. And Elijah said, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Baal is the devil. Amen. But listen to what it says. But the people answered him not a word. He says, how long are you going to have two opinions? Either you serve and love God or you serve and love Baal, the devil. Amen. And it said the people didn't answer him. You know what that means, Sergio? They're uncommitted. They're wanting to see. They didn't. If I said to you, who are you going to worship? Who are you going to say? God. Amen. Is there going to be hesitation? Of course not. But these people hesitated. They stopped and they listened. Then Elijah said to the people, But Baal's, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. He's saying, you have me, and then you have all the Baal worshipers. Amen? Now listen, said, therefore, this is Elijah. Now listen to what he says. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. Lay it on the wood, means make an altar. Amen? Then you call on the name of your gods. Elijah is saying, now you want to, this is so great. He said, you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, well, it is well spoken now, see. Now they like this little game they're going to play. So they took the bull which given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, hallelujah, saying, oh Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped on the altar, and they danced, and then after which they made more noise. Hallelujah. And it was so at noon. You're going to love this. They were jumping around, hollering for Baal, and waiting, and nothing. And at noon, Elijah walked over and mocked them, saying, maybe you ought to cry louder. For he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy. Maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. You think they'd be mad? No, but listen to what they said. So they cried aloud, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. They're just sacrificing everything they got. And when the midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. You're not going to be surprised about this, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Amen. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. In the name of who? Hallelujah. And he made a trench. He dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order. He cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt offering sacrifice and on the wood. This is a great movie. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. They missed it, really? And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God of Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Hallelujah. Had to turn their hearts back to him again. Then the fire, boy, I'll tell you what, you just listen to this. This is where you get standing up and start. If you saw this movie, if you were in the theater, you'd be standing up and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I just read it. You got to see it. It said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Hallelujah. They came back to their senses. How many have ever had to come back to their senses? Amen? And Elijah, now listen, here's the difference between but those people that weren't gods, the magicians and the sorcerers, and these people who confess to be gods, amen, Baal worshippers and the devil. And here's the difference. Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Hallelujah. Like they awoke from a trance. Hallelujah. The devil has nothing for you. Nothing. Amen? He's got destruction. He's going to take from you. He's going to destroy your life, your family's life, your children's life. He's going to destroy your future. There's no hope. There's nothing there. Each day that you give it to God and you just enjoy the blessings of each day, amen, you'll find that there's peace inside of you. There's find also a joy inside of you. You'll find a love inside of you. You'll find compassion inside of you. You'll find a need to want to help other people, to lift them up when they fall, to give them something when they need it. You'll find yourself doing things and saying things that you never thought possible 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago. When you remove yourself and let God fill you, you'll see things in life that you just, you're fascinated. God will fascinate you every day. Amen? He can do that. He wants to do that. The devil has nothing. Say that with me. Nothing for you. Amen? Those people who profess to be something are nothing. Amen? They have nothing for you. They can't tell you one thing until you tell them something. Amen? You don't have to tell God anything except that you love Him. Amen? He knows. Amen? The Bible says He knows your heart's desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desire. Amen? It doesn't say tell God your heart's desires. He said simply delight yourself in Him. Amen? This is the God that we love. This is the God we worship. This is the God you want to hear about when you walk in here. Amen? You don't want to hear about the world. You don't want to hear about politics. You don't want to. There's enough of that. You want to hear about God because you have to live in the world tomorrow. Amen? And you have to be stronger tomorrow. Amen? We see commercials about medicine every single day. And I'm not about this stuff for this and this for that. And I am fascinated when you see that. Maybe that's the wrong word, fascinated. Because it says this might help your blood pressure. Might help your arthritis. But this also might make your leg fall off. How many times have we said that? Or But God, there's the only after effect with God is more joy, more peace. Amen? That's the difference. See, the world is offering you things that have no promise. They want to know for them. They don't even know what it can do. But we know what God can do. Amen? That's why this church on Sunday is the most important place. And at the Bible study is the most important place. Because it's for you. Amen? If you don't come, that's nothing wrong. People get doing other things. I do other things. Amen? I'd love to be here every Tuesday. I understand that. But when you start to really just taste it, and it tastes good, you want more of it. Amen? And that's what I'm praying about every Sunday, because I know God is hearing. I know God answers. And I know that God has the answer. Amen? And that's what I'm excited about, the things of God for me, for my bride, and for you, and for your love for me. Give Him praise, church. Oh, hallelujah. We'll do the Lord's Supper. I think we're going to do. We have today in a couple of the trays, Marcia has gluten-free crackers. And we have that for people that maybe have maybe that would be better for you. Amen. Now, today, we only have a few. So if you really don't need it or you never thought about it, we'll leave for a couple of people who really might want it. But if you like the idea, and we like the idea, and I think it's only common sense that we have something like that in the offering, amen, in the Lord's Supper. Because we're just simply remembering what God did for us. Amen. If we were eating M&Ms, it would be the same result. Understand? It's what we're doing that counts, not what we're eating. Amen. But if the gluten-free is something that's even a small cracker is better, that's what we're doing at Second Congregational. So if you see it there, understand that that's what it's there for. And if you need it and if you want it, we'll have more. Amen. But we wanted to share that with you. Thank you, Marcia. I love laughter in church. When I was a boy, if I laughed in church, they kicked me out. I was doing something wrong. In God's house, just love Him. What we're doing now is about Jesus. This is a memorial, the Last Supper. There'll be a day when this will be a celebration when Jesus returns. He said, do this in His name until He returns. I believe that day will be here. And we'll rejoice when it happens. But for now, we do this in His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. I'll let you pray and talk to God. As you receive the bread of life and accept Jesus in your heart this morning, just give him thanks for all the things you've been blessed with this week, that you got through the week, that you had the joy of each other, and all the little things that he does for us every second of every minute. Just thank him for who he is and remember Jesus in Jesus' name. For the remission of our sins, he was the lamb that was slain. When Father looks down from heaven and sees us, he sees us covered in that blood, that sacrifice, once for all, for the Son. Hallelujah. And Jesus asked us to do this in remembrance of him. Hallelujah. As he shed his blood, became that sacrifice, once for all. Who will ever believe in his name? Just believe today. Thank you, Lord. Simply believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He watches me play it, Joanne. So I was on the sparrow because I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all the messes that we create every day, he cleans them up for us. And all the confusion we add every day, he cleans it up and straightens it out. Sometimes we push on a door so hard that we think that's what we want, and he keeps it closed. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that you keep us. You keep us from temptations and trials and tribulations. We cause our own anyway. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on that cross for us forever. Once for all, in Jesus' name, we remember. We give him praise in this house this morning. We're so happy. Thank you, Lord. We remember. You can do that in your house every day. You can have the Lord's Supper in your house. You don't have to have it in church. You're all family, amen, you're children of God. Say that with me, children of God. We are God's people. You don't need somebody else doing it for you. He loves you. You've accepted His Son in your heart. Ask Him before you do it to remove any iniquities. Say, Lord, help me to remove things that might have been separating me from you. And then do the Lord's Supper in your house. Give Him thanks. You can do that. You can make your house a holy place. Amen. Hallelujah. You can make your living room a tabernacle to God, an altar to God. Amen. Give Him praise, church. Let's just praise Him today.